hard to imagine a composer who's made more of an indelible mark on the sound and personality of film music, particularly in the 80s, than Harold Faltermeyer. Through his groundbreaking use of electronics, Mr. Faltermeyer crafted unforgettable themes for classic films like Beverly Hills Cop, Top Gun, Fletch, creating sounds so unique and vivid that he was called upon by Hollywood's top producers and filmmakers to collaborate on some of cinema's biggest blockbusters. I guess to start out with, I want to know where your consciousness of film music began and how you entered that realm.
It all started with a movie my friend Giorgio Moroder did in the 70s, which was Midnight Express.
Mm.
And this was more or less the beginning of the relationship of Giorgio and myself working on this movie. I was working in another studio first out of Munich, and he had his own studio, the famous Musicland studio. And one of the days he called over and said, "Would you be interested in working with me?" And I was thrilled that he called because he was big already. And they called me over to Musicland Studios, and he said, "I'm working on a movie. Could you help me?" And I said, "Sure, I can." And that's how it all started. And it was Midnight Express. It was a beautiful score. He even got an Oscar for that.
It's a gorgeous score.
It was my first introduction to film music.
Well, tell me about Giorgio, because I've admired his music as well for so many years. And you're absolutely right. Midnight Express is a gorgeous score. What was that collaboration like? What was he like?
You know, Giorgio is a genius. A great composer, Giorgio is a great producer, and Giorgio is maybe not such a great engineer, you know, but he always tried to do everything at a time. And at back in these days, it was not so common that you were skilled in doing orchestrations, in playing, in producing, in engineering. This was all a matter of mancraft. You had like four guys for that. You had an arranger, you had a producer, you had an engineer, and you had musicians. Today it's totally different. Today everybody does everything, you know.
Mm.
But back then this was like a novelty. So I'm trained classically, and I'm trained as a sound engineer as well. So I had all these things bundled together in a pretty unique form at that time, and I could help him a lot because with his genius, you know, we always said he had bent needles, you know, he was all the multi-track machines were by far distorted and everything, but he had good ideas, you know.
Mm.
Well, like I said, he's a genius, and he needed somebody to support him in a professional way, and this was a great collaboration with him.
So you did, you worked on a couple of things with him. I think you did the Adrian Lyne film Foxes with him as well.
Right.
And did that get you the notice of Simpson Bruckheimer when it came to Thief of Hearts, which I think was your first major film score?
Right. It was even later. Foxes was in between them in America when we just finished on our summer at that time, and then there was the movie Foxes coming up, and the next movie he had an offer of was American Gigolo.
Mm.
And this was the movie I met Bruckheimer.
Okay, wow, and you know, there was, I have a question about the kind of the different trends in film music, because you came in at a time, it was a very exciting new direction for the sound of film music. Are you thankful for having started when you did? Because you really were able to brush kind of your own path in a way.
Right. See, it was like this. Thief of Hearts, my first movie, was somehow tempted with things like I did later as well. It was very Tangerine Dreamy and all this thing, very ominous, you know.
Mm.
And this was the color of the score, was one way of doing electronic music at that time. But the other movie, then the next one was Beverly Hills Cop, and that asked for something absolutely different, very bouncy, very jumpy synthesizers, very very sparse arrangements, you know, little tiny hints and melodies and all that. And this was a pretty big battle with the producers and all that to get that through, because first of all, at that time, doing like a comedy like this, it always was you were calling in an orchestra, and you were trying to make like something like Mancini or whoever did, you know, it was always an orchestra, and me coming in doing a big comedy with Eddie Murphy with just like little synthesizers and things like this, stirred up some confusion in the studio. They said, well, you can't do this, you need an orchestra, where's the orchestra? And it was in the beginning, like I said, it was a battle because nobody really liked what I was doing. And then there was Marty Brest who from the beginning on said, I think that's the absolute right way to go for in sound wise with this movie. So I had a big supporter. And then since having Marty Brest on the case with a absolutely like, it was from then on, it was rather easy to get Bruckheimer and Simpson in the boat.
Yeah. You know, and you've composed several comedic films, and your highest profile films are kind of comic and action hybrids. And I've heard from other film composers that comedy is the hardest thing to compose because you don't want to necessarily play the laughs.
Right. Yeah. You're not tipping it. You should not tip it. You play more the characters, you know, and it's very tough to do a comedy score. But with all the work, you know, and all the research we did, especially on Beverly Hills Cop, which was such an intense work, I got lots of skills to do comedies with this kind of electronics, because we worked so much on this, you know. So it's a matter of getting used to, but it still remains very, very tricky.
Yeah. And it must have been unusual. I mean, it is unusual when it comes to film music, that film music can enter the popular charts, the record charts. And
right.
you've done that several times. I mean, that must have been a big thrill, and I would imagine a surprise for you.
Oh, yeah, it definitely was. I mean, you know, especially with Beverly Hills Cop, we were in an area in a time where soundtracks were big guns in the industry. Soundtracks were selling a lot, and I still recall that first of all, when we put out Beverly Hills Cop, nobody wanted to have a piece of score on the movie soundtrack, because everybody said we wanna have hits and songs.
Hmm.
And at that time, instrumentals were not so popular, so it was a pretty big battle to get a track or two tracks on the soundtrack. And then when this whole thing turned and all of a sudden Axel F became a huge hit and even made the soundtrack boost up again, you know, and boost the movie and everything. And this was a huge thing, and to me this was a big thrill.
When it came to composing Axel F, I mean, did that come to you right away, or did the theme kind of evolve into what it eventually became?
Well, the theme Axel F was like a second or third attempt in writing a theme for Axel Foley. Mm. So the first two attempts were not so well received from the producers and from Marty Brest, I recall. But then I gave it another shot, and then I came up with this theme, and then they liked it. Mm. So we had this one theme. Then we had a couple of other themes. We had like Rosewood and Taggart, you know, where they are acting rather clumsy in the movie. You know, we had these things what we were calling bananas, with the marimba phones. But you know, Axel F was never a composed piece of music all throughout the entire song. It was like at the end it was like a patchwork of little pieces of score, just put together to a 3-minute instrumental. You know.
Well, and it's one of the most iconic pieces of music from that generation. So
yeah.
It's amazing. Have you often run into studios kind of dictating what you do, or have they pretty much left you alone?
Well, it depends. You know, sometimes the studios are very, very particular in what they want, and very particular in sounds and everything, and they want to be part of it. In other cases, you were almost left alone, especially in cases where I came in like Running Man. Mm. I was there all by myself. Everybody was gone to a total different movie, you know, and nobody was there anymore, and I was all by myself, recording a score and doing what I thought was okay, and then I finished the score, and they took it and said, "It's great. Thank you. Goodbye."
That
always can happen like that.
That's a dream. I mean, that's the way you want it, I'm sure. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It's not this. But let me tell you, it's not like this anymore.
How is it different today for you?
Well, the difference is the speed, because you had at that time, like let's go back to Beverly Hills Cop or to Top Gun. You were working with a 35mm film, and you were working with reels, with music reels, with sound effect reels, and with dialogue reels, and all that in 35mm. So, whenever you delivered music, it had to be transferred to 35. Whenever you got music, whenever you got a film material, it had to be transferred to a video. In order for you to work in the studio setup we had, so it was always a long process that you had to wait. You composed a piece of music. They had to build a reel. They had to put it against the picture. They had to show it to the director, and they liked it or not, and they commented it. And then maybe you got a new cut. They had to transfer it to video again, and all that thing backwards. So you had a lot more time to do things. Today, it's totally different. Today they're sitting on a computer. They edit the song at the movie on a computer, and they shoot it onto a server, and you download it on a server, and the next minute you start to work, and the director is wondering, where's the music, and you haven't even started, you know.
Yeah,
it's so fast, you know.
And so
if they have a new cut and you're working on a piece of music, and there's a new cut, you get like a heads up from your music editor, saying, wait a minute, we have a new cut in a minute, and the new cut's coming, and you just turn around everything again, and then everybody expects that you are finished in a couple of minutes, you know. So
yeah.
It's very stressful somehow.
I would imagine that kind of hampers the creative process.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It definitely does, but on the other hand, you know, I was always working very fast. So to me, it's great to work fast and to be on the case and to just do what they want. And with all these technical tools and gadgets we have these days, it's really easy.
When because your music has such an instantly recognizable sound, and it was so new and exciting in all of these great big films that you did in the 80s, did you find that you were battling against typecasting, where they would come to you and they would say, I want this score to sound very similar to what you did in Beverly Hills Cop or Top Gun?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they call you for a reason. I mean, they call every movie composer, they call for a reason. And the downside is that I was always typecasted into like the comedy and action drawer.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever I wanted to do an animated feature or a romantic or dramatic feature, everybody said, "Nah, he can't do it. He's the guy for action movies, and he's the guy for comedies." You know, it's somehow a pity. Otherwise, I guess you have to live with it.
Yeah. Well, I'm probably romanticizing that whole era of filmmaking, but it seemed like back then there were a lot bigger personalities involved in film. And, of course, primarily among them, I'm thinking about Don Simpson. And I would imagine that you had a lot of contact with him in your collaborations.
Oh, yeah. Don was very intense. I mean, you have to see, I mean, Simpson and Bruckheimer were like they even called them the Golden Boys at that time. They had whatever they touched was successful.
Mm.
So they had like an enormous power in Hollywood to do movies, you know. And the marriage between Simpson and Bruckheimer worked so great because Simpson was always on the hype end, you know, very very upfront, and Bruckheimer was very in control, and so this yin yang effect of these two guys was just tremendous, you know.
Mm.
And from one guy you got like, let's do this, let's do that, and let's do that, and the other said, let me think about it. Can't because this is a budget problem, or this is this, you know. So this worked great, and I love to work with these guys.
Yeah, and of course Top Gun. I wanted to know some of the experiences you had with Tony Scott, because that was, that music is so incredibly well used in that film. Was he very specific about what he wanted the music to do in that film?
Oh, yeah. So, you know, with Top Gun, we had one problem. Top Gun is, when you hear the jet noises, this is like there were a lot of jets in this movie. So you always had the problem in a soundscape which was like covered and clustered with white noise because the jet engines at the end they sound like white noise, and white noise is like something the conglomerate of all noises and all music you can imagine, you know.
Mm.
So how do you get through with a score through this wall of sound effects? Because one thing is for sure, you're always the third guy in place. You first of all there's the picture, which is a visual thing, and then you have dialogue, which is your number one. And then the second one is your sound effects, and you're with your music, you are number three. You're not beating the sound effects, and then you of course never beat the dialogue because you have to understand what they're saying. So what are you doing?
find that the trends with music today, I find that, I mean, your melodies are so unforgettable in the scores that you've written, but I find that melodies taking more and more of a back seat, and especially with the use of electronics, the score is an extension of the sound effects almost now. Do you find that troubling?
Right. See, I personally think it's a pity that melodies are not so important anymore in the score. At that time, when I did these movies, I mean, it was all about melodies. And you try to invent melodies, not just soundscapes and images, you know. And I recall when I did the last movie, it was always a question: don't do so many melodies. Put out the melody. Give us the melody on a different stem so we can take it out. So you see, this is the development. I mean, people don't want to hear melodies anymore. Obviously, it's more like just soundscape, and this of course degrades the score to another piece of sound effects, and that's a pity.
I think so too. I mean, because as a viewer, when you have those melodies that stay in your mind, I mean, it makes the movie live for you longer. I mean, we can go back and we can listen to your themes for all of these great movies, and the movies live on because of them. And I think something as nondescript as, you know, an extension of a sound effect, it doesn't do the same thing at all.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, what can you do? It's a question of time, and let's hope that the melodies are coming back sometimes.
Yeah, I hope so too. So I would imagine that that Kevin Smith, you know, like all of us from that generation, grew up on your music, and that's why he approached you, because he wanted to bring back that sound.
Well, I mean, to work with Kevin was a dream. And you know, when do you get the situation that like 80% of the temp music is your own music? So this is a dream. I mean, these days it's. I mean, I talked to Hans Zimmer a couple of years ago, and it's always. And he said, the problem is that you're tracking somebody else's temp music, because you put temp music from everybody in the movies, and the director is falling in love in the temp music, and the poor composer is coming in, and what is he doing? He's trying to adapt the music of somebody else to make it work for the director, and that's somehow a pity. And what dream this was, you know, with Coppa, to have like 80% of your own was just great, and you knew exactly how you do it. Of course, I didn't copy it, and I tried to make it more modern and to make it more recent. That's why I put where I got Sam Spiegel do all the grooves, you know, on that movie. And but still, it's my music, you know. It's my and it's the area of Beverly Hills Cop, of Fletch and of this kind of buddy movies.
It really is, and I mean, I fell in love with it the second I heard it. I got that soundtrack, I had it on repeat. I love your working Cop Out. But then,
you know,
that same year, you were able to do something quite different as well, which was the movie High School. That was a different kind of score for you, wasn't it?
Oh yeah. What a pity that movie didn't make it bigger. I mean, I thought this was a great movie. It was a great opportunity. And what a pity.
Mm. It's a good movie. I always liked the movie.
It's a great movie.
Yeah. So tell me what you're up to now. What have you been busy with lately?
I'm just working for a piece of music for the Red Bull people. You know, the guys with the drink.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what they have a very very sophisticated flight team. They have the Flying Bulls team, and they have they do air shows. And they asked me, and they have three helicopters which are able to do aerobat flight with a Boeing 105, and I think that's the only ones in the world. And they do a stunning show with these helicopters, and they asked me to do something like an anthem. So it's a little, of course, it was a little leaning towards Top Gun,
right?
But in a very modern way, totally different, but very very epic. And so I just finished a 10-minute piece of music. which they use now to shoot a very, very sophisticated video. Funny enough, I could get Steve Stevens again to play all the guitars and do the guitar work on that as well.
Mm.
And it just sounds terrific, and I'm pretty proud of that.
Wow.
This is one thing. I just finished it, and the next thing is there's a movie lined up, which is an African story, which is a little more on the ethnic kind of side. And they start shooting, I guess, in April, and I will do the score in autumn, I guess.
Have you been approached for video games yet? Because this is like this huge burgeoning field for film composers. And
yeah, I did two video games. I did one back like 10 years ago, which was called Check Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
And this was something like a Stacy Keach kind of thing with a detective in the America of the Prohibition and all that, you know. And this was a very jazzy score with saxophones and all that, and very drum and bass oriented. And then 2 years ago, I did another one, which was a very, very, very dark, dark role-playing game, which was called Two Worlds, which did very, very good.
Mm.
And video game is a pretty interesting field of work. I like to do that as well.
Yeah, we always close off with the same question with each composer. It's just our kind of fun question. If you were to choose three film scores outside of your own that you consider essential, which ones would they be?
I think my number one would be Once Upon a Time in West by Ennio Morricone.
Mm, yeah.
I know that Hans Zimmer said it as well as all the times as well. I don't know if he did this use, but this is, and we were talking about that. This is one of, I think that's the best score.
Yeah.
And then the next thing, I think Pink Panther by Henry Mancini.
Mm-hmm.
I think is really great. And then of course I think John Williams' Raiders of the Lost Ark is one of my favorite scenes.
Yeah. Well, I can't argue with any of those. Those are all classic, absolutely.